Blog Hello and welcome to Awakenings. That was a bit of Breathe by Urban Myth Club. And welcome all that are in the chat room. Welcome all that are listening via cosmicdimensions.com. And welcome all that are listening via the other podcast stations and iTunes. You've surfed into Awakenings. I'm your host, Michelle Mache, or as I like to say, your co-pilot. I really do like saying that because I feel we're all traveling together, and that's what makes the journey a lot more exciting and inspiring. Awakenings is a live internet radio show that focuses on grounding the spiritual process of awakening. Awakenings is part of the Converging Flow. Here we explore the challenges of this process of awakening. Awakenings radio hosts dialogues and interviews with spiritual teachers, healers, conscious experts, visionaries, awakened leaders, authors, conscious beings, and people of all walks of life that are awakening or are awake and integrating this awakened state in their everyday lives. Awakenings radio reflects the bridging point between science and spirituality. Awakenings is a place for guidance to support you and guide you through the shifts and changes of these individual and collective awakenings that we are all a part of and also co-creating. It's a bit of both, isn't it, really? Wonderful day today. A lot of change up in the air, in the cosmos, globally and locally. I don't know how many of you have been feeling. We are in another gateway portal of light that happens every May, June, since the quickening, and November, December. So we are in a time right now of a lot of change and a lot of change on a physical level. And some of this change does require us to stretch a bit. And I think what I've been getting from clients that I work with, as well as emails and people that have actually even called in, that they are feeling whether changes in the body or changes, you know, accidents, little, you know, mishaps, little awakenings, little mini earthquakes, if you will, in their own personal lives right now. And so one of the things, you know, the other day I had an amazing meditation and something, and you know, probably everyone that I'm speaking with right now, I'm sure you've had this where you know something and you really got it, but then you really get it. You really feel it. And even though I've been consciously on this path a long time, I'm not immune to those. I have a lot of those, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, whoa. And this was one of those. My guides that I work with were giving, you know, part of my tutorial with some of my non-physical guides, the spiritual hierarchy and the oversouls, were leading me into go deeper into the idea that we are all one. Now, I know we know that, and we've been talking oneness consciousness, we are each other, we're reflections of the same. But if you really contemplate it, it's not just that we're reflections of the same. We are the same. We are actually the same. And so, you know, because a lot of times, and what the perception that we're individuated aspects of the all that is. So we have an individuated consciousness, yet it's like our hand. You know, you may have the thumb on there, and the thumb is a singular digit. However, the whole hand is there. And One of the things a lot of times people are thinking that in these changes that are occurring, that something's happening to us, or that the climate changes or the earth changes are happening because. Well, if they're not happening because, they are just happening as they're happening within us, because we are that. And that is the Sanskrit and the Sufi maxim, I am that that I am. So ham, ham so. So it's not that we're made of the same stuff, that we are that matrix, that fabric, you know, the resonant field. We are that. It's not just that we're made of that, or that we're all made of the same fabric and thread. It is that we are the same. It's just a different reference point. So literally, you are the moon. You are the sun. You are the waves. You are that other person. So this is the consciousness, and to as you move more into that, that's where you get into more of your intuitive connecting or receiving signs from wherever you do, whether it seemingly internally or seemingly externally, because you begin to recognize that the signs that you're wanting to receive may be coming from a different reflection of you. So if you are contemplating or putting a question out and you're going on a nature walk, and all of a sudden you see an animal being, that certain medicine. Let's say it's an antelope. How's that for Sylvia? It's not that that antelope has come to give you that message. That is actually you. It's another aspect of you, an extension of your beingness in a different form, in a different reality. Now, this is, oh, Kirk, I saw the signs and it opened up my eyes. Oh, that's beautiful, Kirk. Kirk is saying in the chat room, very beautiful. So it's not so much, you know, that we're separate. We know that we're individuated aspects, but what we're also going to be moving into is the living awareness that I am that I am. So when you show up to assist someone, or you show up with a message for someone, or they show up with a message for you, it is an extension of that being. It is another, it's simply just another aspect of your consciousness. And when we live more in that space, in fact, that's what, in a sense, what intuitive work is, or psychic work, or channeling. You go into that space of oneness where there is no separation, and it means just that. Of course, we have to separate back out to share the insight or share what we've received. And it comes through the filters of the individuated aspect, which is, in sense, you know, to put it in a, you know, contemporary terms, it's the spin, you know, that we put on it as our individuated aspects that we are. But the message is really coming from ourselves. Thanks, Tammy. Tammy's saying great sharing. You're so that. Yes. So that, and you know, and then this is where we start to begin to open into being, allowing our telepathy, allowing ourselves to merge with each other, because there is no fear. In other words, if I am you, even as I'm speaking, there's a collective of all of you that are me, and all of that me that is all of you. So it is that collective that comes through. And what's happened over the years in the great, to use a shamanic term, in the great forgetting or forgetfulness, which we're now remembering, we're bringing the members back, we're bringing it all back. In the great forgetting, it began, the ideas and beliefs that were encoded within this or handed down were that we were these individual only aspects. Yes, Tammy, you got it in the chat. We are all that. Yeah. That's why, I mean, if you really focus on that awareness that it's not that we are the same, it is we are each other. It's a slight difference, but the perception just, yes, it just opens, as Kirk is saying in the chat, takes you somewhere. It takes you into that space of oneness. So there's nowhere for me to go or to get to, because it's not that we're similar, or again, we're of the same substance. It is that we are the same, simply a different reflection, but yet the same. So it's very, very powerful. When we move into that space, that's when we begin to open to the insights that we receive, or with that opening. And one of the reasons we're able to open to receive the messages of the signs is because two things. We move out of that fear place. We move into the openness of receiving. And in moving out of that fear place, we move into that space of asking. Putting the call out, as we say, and knowing that it comes back to us in a way that we can see if we but allow it, if we just open to it. So a lot of this part of the path has to do with being open, which brings me to something that a listener had emailed me about. How do you know if you're on the right path? And my sharing was that, what is your path? It is what's before you. So wherever you are is where you are, and that is your path. And it's how you travel on that part of your path, or that specific part of the path, of the that patch of the path, or how do you do those steps. But you are where you are, and where you are is blessed. It is holy. It's complete. It has all that you need for right here, right now, and that next step. But I think the key for me is the oneness, is really recognizing that soham, hamso, I am that I am, and coming more and more from that awareness and living that awareness. Well, today on Awakenings, we have a wonderful guest, fellow traveler on the path, author of Signs from Above, which is actually co-authored by he and his mother, Doreen Virtue. Charles Virtue is actually the eldest son of the angel therapy practitioner, Doreen Virtue, who has been a leading expert in this area and pioneer in this area, and very much a voice. And Charles began to take this on for himself in a way to be of service and to share his insights and awareness with others. I'd like to welcome Charles Virtue to Awakenings. Hello, Charles.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can.
Okay, great. Hi. Thanks for having me.
All right. Yes. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How about yourself?
Great. Great to connect with you.
Yeah, it's really great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and of course, now, I guess you can speak up just a little bit. I got a little message in the chat just to speak up a little.
Okay, is this better?
Ooh, better, yes.
Okay, great.
Because we're going through software and switchboard and computers and phones.
No problem there in the chat room. I'll just like what you said, you've got to put the intention out there and you'll receive it.
Yes, yes. And Tammy is saying welcome. And yes, we're getting lots of hellos in the chat room to you. Welcome, Charles.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah, very glad to be here with you. And, of course, you came via Lisa Beachy, who is a wonderful being as well. So I want to thank her for the introduction.
Oh, is she here?
No, she was, but she was on before, and we chatted, and she told me about you.
Oh, great.
And so that's how we connected. Yeah, through Lisa.
Yeah.
I wanted to just mention that.
Well, hello, Lisa. No, I'm listening.
Yes, hello, Lisa. Yeah, sure. She'll listen later. I'll send her the link, or she can listen in iTunes. Now, Charles, of course, you know, I want to get a bit about your background, but I also want to touch on you just had your book release that you co-authored with your mom, Doreen Virtue, Signs from Above.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about the impetus for this book and what you hope people will receive from this book?
Well, as far as the book itself goes, it's basically book number one of a series of books that fall right in line with what my calling is, what my individual calling in the spiritual world is to help bridge some of the gap and help help to bring people from mainstream thought into understanding the energy around them. So it's basically bridging mainstream life to spiritual life. And that's really,
you're a bridger.
Yes, and that's really where I've been called, is because I feel the connection. I've experienced this myself, and how I was able to take such a, you know, I went through this all myself of, you know, do I believe in this? Do I understand this? Does this work for me? And that's really where I feel my strengths come from in this, is that having had struggled with that myself, and also being blessed to have such a profound understanding about it, having the mother that I do, I really feel that I can relate with people who are thinking, okay, you know, bring this to me on a logical level. And this is really demonstrated by the universe, by some of the people that I get in my class. I get very logical thinkers, doctors, lawyers. I've had police officers in my class. And it's, you know, some of the questions that I get asked, I really get a thrill out of it, because I know this is what people are thinking. These are the things that really block sometimes, you know, people from advancing with their own spirituality, is because they think, a lot of people have a prove-it mentality. A lot of people have this, you know, what would my colleagues think mentality. A lot of people think, well, you know, there's just so much that I could take up this entire show talking about the different examples. And so Signs from Above is pretty much where I wanted to start, because what I do in my classes, and what I'm going to do in the books that I'm going to write, is I take everyday things. And this isn't some, I don't consider this a revolutionary way of approaching this. It's just my way. And and I feel it's a very effective way, that you take everyday things that almost no one can deny they've at least heard of. Start there. And then you start to help people to think, why is this happening? We take for granted so much of the energy between us. We take for granted so much of how we could be standing next to someone and we get a vibe off of them. I mean, even some of the most non-spiritual people I've known have said, ooh, I get a vibe. Just picking up energy. That's working with energy. But it's so commonplace that we just take it for granted and just consider it, you know, nothing profound.
Part of what I'm hearing you say, Charles, and it's so important, you know, as a bridger, that role, is because we need this, the language, and we need the kind of the how-to and the validation more in the mainstream consciousness, because this isn't taught that, oh, yeah, trust what you're, like you said, you're standing next to someone. You know, we're not taught to say, at least on a mainstream level, yeah, you can trust that, or that's your intuition, or that's a sign there.
Definitely, and I really like to help people to understand this is legitimate. And so Signs being something that almost no one, and I've yet to meet someone personally who's not at least heard of, oh, this could be a sign, or is that a sign that I should do that? And I work with Signs personally. I've been working with them for years and years and years, and it's just, there's so much to them. They're pretty much what I consider the breadcrumbs along the trail of our soul path.
So
not only can they help guide you to your path, but they help you to maintain your path, and also serve as a confirmation that you're on your path. And they're just so powerful. I mean, the sense of fulfillment, the sense of completeness and comfort that Signs can give you is like no other, because it's a daily reminder several times a day that you get, that you are surrounded by energy, that you are being guided, that you are not alone. And they're just so powerful. Signs are a great place to start. And people don't realize that all you have to do is just ask for them. And so I do that a lot in my classes. And I just say, okay, fine, you've heard of signs. That's fine and dandy. You understand signs. You know conceptually what they are. How many times have you ever sat and said, okay, angels, please show me a sign? And then the book talks a little bit more into some of the mentality and some of the energy of working with signs, where releasing yourself from the expectation. This is basically setting the foundation for my next book, which pertains to manifestation. And if you read these books, I really feel that for those who are meant to hear the message my way, it can help you relax spiritually, to help you to release from expectations. And so many people say, well, how do I release? How do I have, you know, maintain the faith that what I'm asking for is on its way, or that I'm even heard in the first place. And that's mm-hmm. time.
Yeah. I see the signs are there all the time, but I think sometimes people have preconceived ideas, perhaps, of how it's going to come. Maybe it's tapping them on the right shoulder, and they keep looking to the left because they say, well, it always comes from the left. How do you help people with that, to be open? You just said it, release expectation to be open.
It's one of the more difficult concepts to explain, because it's so easy to dismiss, and it's the exact same concept that I use for manifestation. It's the less you do, the more you do. We have to realize how much work we did before we even got onto this planet in this lifetime. That we set forth this path for ourselves. And it's a very, very complicated formula to pick your parents and to pick the potential situations, to pick if you pick to run into a soulmate in this lifetime, if you pick to, whatever you picked, you set the general guidelines, not to say that everything is predetermined, but you set the general guidelines of what it is on a soul level you are to experience. And so I think what happens is people separate themselves from that and just feel as if they're on, in this tiny little dinghy out in the middle of the ocean, and if they're not constantly manning the ropes 24/7, they could be steered into disaster or steered away from, whatever it is that they feel they want to sail towards. And I really help people to understand that just by setting the intention that you would like the angel's help to get on and maintain your soul path and find the fulfillment that comes with living on your path, with living on your purpose, regardless of what that is. And that's part of what my next book is going to be about, is this, more
this is all important stuff, especially what you're saying about your path, because we all come in with a template, so to speak, on a soul level. And so, right, unfolding are these signs leading us where we need to go. And what I'm hearing you say, if we're trying to push, from an ego personality level, we're, in a sense, overdoing, and it's, maybe getting in our own way.
And more than anything, wasting our own energy. The last thing we ever need to worry about is sabotaging ourselves, so that mm-hmm. somehow we could miss a sign or miss an opportunity. We need to really realize that if you are getting the consistent message that something in your life should be added, or especially if it's specific, if you see yourself somewhere, if you see yourself in a certain job or with a person with a certain type of energy, or in living in a city that brings you, that's the form of community that you seek, whatever it is, if this is consistent, especially if it's consistent, and even if nothing in your life right now points to the fact that that might even be moderately feasible or tangible, do not let it go. And all you need to do is just affirm to the angels that you're getting this message, that it is time to start working towards that. Even if you are getting the message that it's just time for change, that's another subject that I'm going to cover in my writings. Probably don't have time to get into that today, but I can tell you that even if you're just getting a message that change is coming or that you should make a change, but you're not given any more information than that, the first and the most important thing you can do is just acknowledge to the angels that you're receiving this. Instead of going right back to your head and saying, okay, I'm getting this message, I need to change, what should I change? And then going through your life and saying, okay, should I switch to synthetic in my car? Should I start shopping at Costco as opposed to Ralph's? What should I do? What is this? Angels, help me out. We need to stay out of our heads, because a lot of times we're just given these messages of change so that we can have this energetic preparation. Really interesting, in the last class that I just taught, a mediumship class in Laguna, I said, how many people here have been getting a message that change is coming or that they should make a change? And we had some people raise their hands. And then I said, how many people have felt this for quite some time? Pretty much the same amount of hands, minus one or two. And I said, how many people are thinking to themselves, okay, already, let's get this change going. I've been feeling this message for so long, and nothing's come. Come on now. I think that perhaps even some people in the chat room can relate with that. I know personally.
They are. They're saying already, yes.
Yes. Well, then I want to clarify something. I've been getting a lot of emails, and I've been having people talk about saying things. Charles, can you tell us about this new archangel you discovered, or this new archangel? And I really want to clarify that this is nothing that I discovered.
Okay.
This isn't anything that I take any sort of credit for, and this is not a new archangel by any means. But I really feel it's important that I help people understand part of what's going to start happening right now. And this is starting to happen to certain people, and the more people who decide to start working with this archangel, who is not new, but has just recently found that his energy is needed on our planet. And this is Archangel Nathaniel. Archangel Nathaniel is the archangel that is going to come in to help you to become definitive enough, to become confident enough to take that next step and help you to decide what that next step is. And I have felt Archangel Nathaniel. He's essentially the inventory angel. He's essentially the efficiency expert angel. And so what's been going on, and I've gone back and forth on my own theories personally as to why so long so many people were getting these messages that change was coming with no answers. And so there was a lot of people who feel as if maybe they got false guidance, because it's so easy for us to sometimes go to the obvious, go to the first thing that we can think in our life should be replaced, and then we'll do that just because that feels right.
And it may not be that.
It may not be that. Yeah, that might be, there may be something there, and so we don't necessarily end up in a bad position, but we don't feel as if we've accomplished this change on such a profound level that now we're not getting the same guidance. We still feel as if change is coming, and it's like, okay, come on.
You know, Charles, you're really confirming something here, because I've in the work that I do as well, I've been seeing this, and I work with the spiritual hierarchy and the oversouls, and they've said the same thing about it's the confidence level that the new, if you want to call it advanced light workers or light, however you want to put it, this next rung, aren't you, because coming less from the ego, aren't used to pushing so much out there. There can be some reticence. So you're confirming something for me here and answering something here with this new energy, because I've been seeing the same thing, whether it's the confidence or not wanting to or not knowing how to act upon something or if you should act upon something and almost holding back. And there does seem to be like there needs a support, and as you're saying, an energetic support to help this next wave along.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're do you find... point now.
Do you find that that's why that energy is here, that archangel is coming, or
well,
is here?
I feel that there's change coming for most people who are, most people in the world, but especially those who are really feeling it. They're going to experience it, you know, earlier. Mm-hmm. This really.
But even what you said about the confidence, what is your sense with that?
Well. That's part of what Archangel Nathaniel does, is he'll come into your life, and he pretty much takes the choice away from us, in the sense that there's a lot in our lives that distract us energetically, and we don't realize the effect that that has on us.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the first things that Archangel Nathaniel does when he comes into your life is he takes an energetic inventory. And any of any colleagues or relations that you have that you kind of teeter back and forth, and you have those people who... You don't necessarily like, you don't necessarily dislike, you may or may not initiate a whole lot of contact with them for whatever reason, but if they were to invite you out to lunch, chances are you would not say no, you wouldn't really know why, and it doesn't really bring you any sort of sense of fulfillment. When it's over with, you're not even really thinking about them. We all have some energy like that in some form, maybe not specifically as I describe it. Archangel Nathaniel helps us to stop teeter-tottering back and forth as to whether or not those people are important to us. If they're people who serve no role in our purpose, and that may sound so selfish, but you really have to honor yourself. And if this is energy that you're wasting, that you could be spending on working towards your next step, that you could work on, you could spend this time seeing yourself where you feel guided to go. Archangel Nathaniel helps to just instantly help you determine what is good for your energy and what is not. And it's like a spring cleaning.
Mm,
and
okay.
I've felt this for myself, and I've had several people who have felt Archangel Nathaniel's energy also recently confirm that this happens.
So now, Charles, we have a question from Tammy in the chat room.
Okay.
So Archangel Nathaniel will support us in speaking our truth. Is that one component of it as well?
That's very, very, very good way of wording it. And I'm still learning about Archangel Nathaniel, and I really like the way that you worded that. And speaking our truth, exactly. Our truth is, what is right for us along our path. And speaking your truth can, you know, is pretty much an all-encompassing term, you know, whether you're speaking verbally or whether you're speaking energetically with this or is not or this is working for me. That's exactly mm-hmm. it. And it's a very quick change. But more mm-hmm. importantly than the spring cleaning that he does, where he helps to take inventory and make sure that you're making efficient use of your own energy and not giving it away to places or people that have no use for it and you don't benefit from putting energy there. He also really just gets you focused on your next step and the mm-hmm. confidence that I'm talking
that
about.
That was the next question, the focus.
Yeah.
Will he bring focus?
Yes, no, it's really amazing. He, for me, and I can only really speak of what has happened with me and the few people that I've talked to about this that have experienced similar energy, but with me, he just took away all doubt. And of course, mm-hmm. that helps teaching and it helps manifesting, but it
yes.
really... It just put it puts everything. He just puts everything on such a tangible plane. He takes things down to the down notches. Things that we've pedestaled. Things that we've decided even subconsciously might be unattainable. Although we've felt this calling to manifest them, and he just puts it on an even plane and just helps us to realize energy is energy, energy is perception, and if we're going to hold something higher than ourselves, even if it's subtly and subconsciously, then we're going to put that out of our own reach. And when you can see mm-hmm. that the whole world and the whole universe operates on an even plane, and that nothing is more important than anything else, including anyone.
I like when you're saying that.
That is so important. I almost feel as if Hollywood and that type of stuff, as much as we love the movies and we love being entertained, I really feel that type of role in society is on its way out, that we're mm-hmm. going to start realizing that we don't need to idolize anyone anymore, that we need to celebrate ourselves, and we need to realize that we can have anything that we want. Anything that we're consistently guided to bring into our lives is divinely put there, and we need to allow ourselves to feel eligible to make our desires real, and that's what mm-hmm. Archangel Nathaniel helps us to do.
That's beautiful. I love that, what you're saying about the you know, not having the need for these idols, you know, false idols in a sense, because that tends to lead people astray from their truth. And as you're talking about the signs, it's very hard to see the signs or hear the signs when you're idolizing or following someone else, you know.
And not only is it hard to see them, it's hard to believe that any messages or anything that comes with them applies to you.
Oh, yes. Yeah, good point. Good point. Yeah, that's a very good point. Wow, that's profound.
This is my calling. I'm glad that you like what I'm saying, but this is all, you know, following
my
calling.
I think it's so timely, Charles, and obviously that's why it's your calling and you're, you know, being placed in a way to relay this,
mm-hmm.
because it's a critical piece. You can't,
yeah,
you know.
Definitely. There's so many gifted spiritual teachers out there who teach so many different, you know, varying levels of advanced spirituality and, you know, working with chakras and energy and, you know, so much more beyond in as far as complication than I teach. But, you know, they have their roles and I have mine, and I really, really feel so at home and so, you know, in my place, at my role right here at the beginning. I'm teaching the 101, and then you guys can take it from there.
Well, you know what? It's always, at some point, it's all 101. It goes back to the,
yeah.
You know, right? It goes, we simplify, it goes back. And I had a wonderful teacher at one point that said, if you can't explain something very simply to someone that's never heard any of these concepts or lived this way, then you're either don't really know it or aren't living it. You know, so
exactly.
It's very right. It's very powerful to be able to give this kind of information, and in a way that people can hear it and digest it and take something away. You know, it's very transforming.
Yeah. Well, I'm always thankful for the opportunities to talk publicly about Nathaniel because just as your teacher said, when I first started talking about Nathaniel, I often found myself stuck for words and ways of describing his energy because it was so new to me that taking it from that energy way and describing it, I was very inexperienced. I'm still very inexperienced with his energy. I'm still learning. And that's why I feel it's so important to talk about him. And I just want to share a few things about him that people might
yes, and we have a... Yes, and we have more questions about him. And also, is he around you now? Kirk
Oh, yes,
is
definitely.
Asking.
Yeah, he definitely.
Okay, there you go. Okay, and we have.
So
I haven't.
Know, his aura is red, and his name means gift of God.
Wow, the aura red. Okay, and just to let you know, those that are online on the phone, I haven't forgotten about you, but we just want to talk a little bit more with Charles before we open up to any questions there. But I see you. I just want to let you know I see you. Yes, so if you can tell us a little bit. Now, how did Archangel Nathaniel come to you? How did this presence come to you?
Well, I felt his energy before I knew what was going on. I felt this shift in my life where all of a sudden I was more definitive about things that I was flip-flopping about. And I was thinking, wow, this is kind of nice. It's like coffee for the soul. And then I had a student in Germany come up and ask, why don't you talk about Archangel Nathaniel? And when she said that, I thought, oh, my God, could that be it? And I said, you know, and I told her, I said, I think I should start to. And she said, yeah, you really should. And so I said, okay, I'll do some research, and I'll see about adding that to the archangels that I already talk about. And as I started to do research about him, I was kind of disappointed. There's not a lot of information out there, you know, written. If any of you are on your computer right now, open up a new tab and Google Archangel Nathaniel, and you'll see not enough references, especially in comparison if you were to Google Archangel Michael or Raphael, who've been, you know, the Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt of the angel world for so long.
That's right. That's a good way to put it.
I was really kind of, you know, okay, not a lot of information exists, and there's not, you know, I haven't heard him really talked about a lot in modern spirituality, and so I did do some research and found some ancient biblical references, you know, dating back thousands and thousands of years. I was able to find his aura color, which explained because I had been feeling some red energy around me, so that helped confirm that it was Nathaniel, and I also found online that his name means gift of God, which I thought, okay, wow, this is perfect.
Wow.
And so what I had to do at this point was not being able to find enough information written that really resonated with what I was feeling, is I just started saying, okay, well, who are you, Nathaniel? If you are Nathaniel, tell me about yourself. Tell me about what you do. And essentially what happened was I just started getting energy coming to me about the changes that have been happening in me and as a result in my life, and it all just kind of energetically tied together. And so I thought, okay, you're the one. That's what you're doing. Well, I'm going to talk about you.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, it ties in with the bridging that you're doing, though.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, it's so amazing gift from God, you know, to assist you on that part of your service.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you find, Charles, were you asking for anything specifically before this energy came to you, before you noticed this energy? Were you requesting anything or asking for anything, and then all of a sudden you started feeling this energy?
Just more of a sense of fulfillment. You know, being new into being a teacher, it's real important that I feel that I'm not only living to my full potential as a teacher, but I'm also the material that I teach is energetically suitable for my students and for myself. You know, it's real important when you're talking about something regularly that it resonate with you on a very comfortable level, so that you can be as fair as possible when you're talking about it, so that you're familiar, so that you can, when asked questions about that energy, be as thorough as possible in your answers because you have experienced it yourself and you have gone through the whole process yourself. So more of what I was manifesting was just a deeper sense of fulfillment with what I was doing. Not that I wasn't feeling anything, but it was, is this right for me? Is this truly my path? And, you know, no matter how right something might feel, it's human for us to question, okay, is this what I should be doing?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted all doubt removed, and that's what Archangel Nathaniel did for me, and that's really, really helped me in my confidence when presenting information. Just just knowing that this is truly what you're supposed to be doing, and having.
Well, you can feel it in you. You can hear it in you, and feel it in you that. And my understanding too, in this the new age that we're in, if this new paradigm or embodiment, is that the teachers have to be authentic. In the past, they didn't necessarily have to be.
Mm-hmm.
But now you really have to feel it. And I like what you said about be comfortable in, you know, you have to have lived it, you said, and be comfortable in what you're sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that makes it easier, I think, for people to see you as authentic and genuine and you know, want to listen to you. And, you know, you have that believability, which I think is so important.
Well, I'll be the first person to say, I don't know, you know, in front of hundreds mm-hmm. of students if I have to, if someone asks me a question that I've not experienced or I don't have enough information on. And I've had lots of people ask me questions semi-pertaining to the material that we're talking about in methods, you know, exploring the same material in different methods that I've not experienced. And I'll tell them, I've not experienced that. I can't, I won't make up an answer for you. I said, but Google... Google kind of saved my
exactly.
back.
Google, exactly. Thank God for Google. It's like, yeah, everything you can find on there. And, you know, I like what you said, too, because you said, you know, you have lived this. You had this questioning
mm-hmm.
and got your answers and got the confirmation. So, you know, when people come to you questioning, you can really come from a place of, hey, I went through this.
My mom's such an amazing person, and she saw this for me all along, although, you know, before there wasn't a chance that I would have volunteered to complete a sentence in front of more than 10 people. Very much at peace with my stage fright, my almost paralyzing stage fright, and just never thought that getting up in front of people and teaching was, you know, a possibility or a reality.
Mm-hmm.
I went through a lot, and my mother knew that I needed to go through some energy in order to basically qualify energetically to be eligible to be a teacher. And
yeah.
So I was basically, when I stopped working for my mother, I had a little over a 2-year period where it was just me and my spirituality and the world. And I really had to decide what works for me, and I could have gone any direction in this. I could have joined the military. I could have, you know, gone back to college and specialized in something mechanical, which I consider myself pretty mechanically inclined.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very easy default occupation wise. And instead, I went straight to the angels, as I knew, mm-hmm. but I didn't exercise as much as, you know, I want people to now. And I just gave my faith to them, and I started living my life according to the guidance that they started sending me, and I just immediately put myself in a position where I trust what's coming to me. And I had the most bizarre life. I'd be guided towards a job and then guided away from it 3 days later. And I'm thinking, I need to eat. What's going on here?
Really, now let me ask you something. How did your awakening happen, your unfolding?
It happened progressively. Well, I've always, being raised half Catholic and half spiritual, I've always had a basic understanding of it, and so I've always had a openness to it. I've always had a general underlying understanding and acceptance of energy in general, and
mm-hmm.
karma and asking and manifestation and that kind of stuff. But when it really clicked, when it really got to the point where I am 100% open to this, was progressively over that two and a half year period where I had nothing. My mom said, you need to, you know, you're not working for me anymore. She didn't fire me, but I quit. And she said, well, if you're going to do this, you know, then you're on to your next path, your next step in your path, and you need to fend for yourself. And I said, okay, well, this is what I'm feeling guided to do. I'm scared. I don't know why I'm doing this, but this is what I'm feeling guided to do, and I can't ignore it anymore.
And did it keep coming up for you? Like, no matter what you were thinking about, this kept coming back, opening to work with the angels?
This was all progressive. I was basically, the, you know, my karma has in times in my life led me to believe that I'm a young soul, because my karma is usually instant and kind of extreme.
Get it out of the way quick, all of it, right?
I have to be smacked in line sometimes, sometimes literally, and it was really progressive. More than anything, the angels saw that I was capable of teaching. They saw that this was going to be my next step, but they didn't feel it was relevant that I knew this during the time. What they felt was relevant was for me to have an appreciation for life and an appreciation for the fulfillment of living on your purpose, regardless of the lifestyle that accompanies it, and an appreciation for helping people and being in a position of wanting help for so long, so consistently. It can really give you more of a feeling of fulfillment actually helping people, because you know what it's like to be in a position of wanting help. And it was just these subtle things that I needed to experience. And I know two and a half years doesn't sound like a very long time in the course of life, but when you're experiencing it, you know, you're talking 365 days, then another 365 days, and then another 6 months, and every day therein, it's a very long time to just be completely lost on your path, not knowing what's going on, but at the same time trusting that there's something out there for you. And that was the main thing about me, is I never, ever once, no matter how bad things got for me, never did I stop trusting that I was being guided towards something. Yes, there were times where I would break down in tears and say, angels, you know, come on, like, you know, this is enough. Like, you know, a year and a half into this, I'm like, come on, why is, you know, what is going on here? But looking back at it, I wouldn't trade a second of it away, because I came out of there so appreciative and just so sure that this is what I'm supposed to do when I was presented with this opportunity. And the more I've done this, the more sure I am that this falls in line with my natural inclinations, which is very characteristic of angelic guidance. And as Archangel Nathaniel has come into my life, I've become even a step more confident that this is really what I'm called to do at this point in my life right now. And I'm just grateful for every little piece of it.
Now, when you were growing up, did you pray or ask for guidance of the angelic realm? Did you feel the angelic realm? Were you in touch in that way? As a child?
Not so much in name, but I knew that there was a force out there that I could pray to, and I knew that there was guidance happening around me. But the most praying I ever really did when I was a child, the biggest request I ever had, and I remember this very profoundly, I asked God and the angels, I said, please just let everything turn out all right. I don't, you know, if you know anything about my childhood, it was... you know,
I don't. No, so if you, okay, whatever you feel comfortable sharing, we would love to hear your path.
Yeah,
your
path. We all have things that we experience as children. But I was a product of my mother and my father divorced when I was two, and so I spent the good portion of my childhood in a custody battle that didn't seem like it would ever end. And so there was a lot of energy there. And that was pretty much my request when I was a child. Please just let everything be all right.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And, you know, they always say that the of course, and it was, but that that intention and that, especially at that young age, there's the velocity, the frequency, the vibration is sometimes a lot stronger, you know, less filtering. How do you feel that impacted you, or did it, having gone through that as a small child?
Well, you know, that and other things that I've experienced, not much surprises me. It puts me in a really good place to travel like I do, and experience different cultures and experience different questions. And I don't consider myself jaded, and instead I just consider myself very aware of what humanity is capable of.
Well, we have to go, you know, we all have to go through something.
Oh,
it's right, the tempering, and to get to that deeper level of knowing through experience, what can happen.
To come together.
Yes, yes. Now, what about as you were, let's say, in the, more the teenage years, you know, because I know it was more in your 20s that you were really being drawn to the use of angel cards and connecting in perhaps more consciously. But did you find as you were growing up, let's say in even the teenage years, that there was still this awareness?
Oh, definitely. That maintained consistent throughout my life.
That's it. Okay.
Whether, you know, just not knowing what it was for me. I'm hearing on one side that it's, you know, this, and I'm hearing on another side that it's that, and I needed to find what worked for me. I never would take anything at face value. That's part of my indigo. And I remember being 14 years old, I think it was, when I gave my first reading. I was with my mom, and we were at a bookstore, and I was instantly drawn to runes. I wasn't sure what they were, but I was just drawn to them. And she said, "Would you like them?" I said, "Of course, please." And so I got them, and I brought them back home, and I was instantly obsessed with them and the Greek alphabet on them. And I read the book so many times that it came with it, explained each rune and what it meant in different positions in the reading, and how to give rune readings, and just all of, you know, it just really connected me with Greek energy. And I decided to memorize the entire Greek alphabet in upper and lower case. My teachers didn't like that because I would write my homework out in English but using Greek letters, and so you know, I was just having fun. I was a kid, but I would give rune readings to my friends, and they didn't think it was weird.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, you know, some of my earliest memories of actually sharing this energy with people outside of my family.
Mm-hmm.
So my first reading that I ever gave was when I was 14, and it was with runes. So the runes didn't last too long. I didn't think that there was anything wrong with them energetically, but I felt that they didn't really vibe with me, that there was something different I needed to be using.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's interesting how we can kind of move right from oracle to oracle or system or belief. You know, we kind of get, you know, moved along sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Charles, what do you, you know, and I wanted to bring up, and I don't know if we have chance right at perhaps towards more towards the ending of the show to do a bit of you know, meditation or something, but you know, because I thought of, you know, when speaking with you, I thought, oh, it's, this is not by accident that we're in this, you know, Iranian shift, if you will, conflict, and a lot of people have been, you know, myself included, prayer and meditating. Last Saturday I did a program with a Iranian American woman on that, and she spoke of consciousness, that what would help is, you know, to actually pray for the ones that are, you know, the government officials and such. But her whole idea was, you know, that we are all helping in consciousness. What are your thoughts of what is going on, and what can people do? Because so many people feel like, well, what can I do? I'm not there, you know, I don't live there, and I'm, you know, I'm not protesting. But when you see something like this going on, what do you tend to do?
I don't talk publicly about politics. Mm-hmm. I do believe that that region definitely needs all of our energy, and that we, you know, we definitely want them to find stability and happiness again. But as far as my opinions about all of that,
I'm not asking for your opinion. I mean, but people feel, you know, especially as healers, teachers, or light workers, people see things going on in the world. I'm sure people come to you. Do you have any?
You think.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's. I mean, again, yeah. It's not that I don't care, or I don't have any energy. It's just that whenever something like that goes on, I just send it good energy, and I just hope that, you know, they can find the peace within themselves. But I understand that every society, every civilization, every organization sometimes faces periods of misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I have many Middle Eastern friends. I've got many Iranian friends in Orange County. And
mm-hmm.
They'll be the first people to admit that they're very, very passionate people. And they pride themselves on their ability to express their emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that compared to Americans, we Americans can almost seem a little bit repressed compared to how we publicly express our opinions. And
mm-hmm.
Iranians get it out there. And And I really admire them for that. In fact, I've heard several stories in the news where reporters were criticized in other parts of even the Middle East because they would not react as emphatically about something that had happened while they were reporting the news or while they were getting accounts from people who had experienced whatever this might have been.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it can be easy for us to misunderstand in the westernized world, you know, what's going on, but I really feel that it's not as quite as severe as we think it is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That in order for us as Americans typically to react that strong, it would take.
We wouldn't.
We would have to have soldiers running down our own streets with guns.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with what they're saying. I praise them for being so open and so connected with their own energy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just different ways of life. It's just different societies, different civilizations. No one is better than the other. It's just different. And I pray for them. There's a lot of Iranians in my area. There was the other day they came out to protest and shut down several streets near my house and sent me on a fun adventure finding detour routes to the grocery store. And so I really feel no particular connection personally to all of that, but anytime any sort of conflicts like that arise, I just put energy out there and just pray that they can find the peace
that they're
meant to.
I like that. Yeah, I have quite a few friends there as well and here locally, but I do like that because, you know, I think part of the path is knowing what's on your path and, you know, and maybe you'll run across this later, but a lot of times it does come up for people that are healers or teachers or light workers, you know, what can I do? You know, and I don't know what my thought is, what's in front of you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So but I like what you said about the positive energy or prayer.
Yeah, well, definitely anytime that I'm called to work with something, I follow that. But
mm-hmm. You follow what's in front of you?
I follow what I'm guided to.
What you're guided to?
What I'm guided to follow.
Okay. I couldn't hear something. I don't know if you're on a landline, but the phone went out a little bit, so.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure what that is. I'm in Hawaii, so it might just be the form of satellites, whatever is broadcasting our signal from here, yeah.
Very yin energy. Now, we had a question in the chat, and I'm going back. Oh, can I ask Charles what, I think this type of teacher you were? Let's see, I'm trying to scroll back. What kind of teacher you were in a past life that she's feeling? Kurt, this is from Kurt. And curious about your tattoos, what are they?
Oh, well, I
didn't even know you had
tattoos.
Okay.
Well, that's
okay.
A very personal thing.
Okay.
And that's not something. In fact, let's focus less on me. I don't ever like to put myself in a position where I feel I have to authenticate myself. I'm really feeling odd energy right now.
Okay.
If you're curious about what I do, I'd be happy to talk about that. Other than that, I never put myself in a position.
I don't think it's any, you know, our chat room's also known as a sacred space of empowerment. I think people are just coming from, you know, wanting to know about, you know, about you and what you do. But you can also say, you know, I just don't feel... You know, I don't talk about my tattoo. I didn't even know you have tattoos.
Yeah, it's none of anyone's.
Some people like to talk about it because they have meaning, you know, to them or represent a certain part of their path or, you know, or commemorative. So, yeah. But if you don't want to say anything about that, that's fine, too.
Well, I just don't think it's appropriate. I really like the way this interview started off, but it's really shifting to a place right now that I'm not comfortable. my tattoos are my business, and I just don't see the appropriateness of bringing that up under any circumstance. I don't show them to anyone, and I'm surprised anyone knows about them, so I could almost take that as confrontation.
Okay, Curtis saying sorry. I'm sorry, I didn't mean anything. Oops. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's not okay, a secret. Well, it's just my business. Even in my personal life, I don't show them. It has to do with my path and what I've been through and ways that I choose to commemorate certain steps in my life.
Wonderful. Wonderful. One thing I did want to ask you about, Charles, is your, and you touched on it a little bit, but we didn't go into detail because we talked a little bit more about the book, but the classes that you offer, because you've mentioned that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
What are the, are they bridging? Are they helping people that are just coming on the path to have better understanding of reading the signs or knowing the signs that are coming to them? Is that part of it? A big component,
yes,
of what you're
definitely a part of the workshops that I teach, but it goes more into that. As I mentioned, I've been called to be in a 101 type position, and so I basically consider the workshops I teach to be an introduction to spirituality in general. And so I get a lot of students come to me who, you know, have been feeling guided towards spirituality, and they're just not quite sure how they want to learn about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels to me that everyone who has come to my classes has just resonated with the way that the description of the classes, and have so far, those that have been honest and open with me have told me that they resonate with the way that I present the information. Now, the class that I teach is based off of my mother's ATP, her Angel Therapy Practitioner class.
Okay.
But it's my take on it.
It's your way.
Different.
Okay.
Anybody who has taken her class or is familiar, one of the first
things
I joke
about. We have some people
about,
that have.
Yeah, one of the first things I joke about when people ask me, what's the difference between your class and your mother's class? And I say, well, there's no singing or dancing in my class. And that doesn't necessarily mean that it's boring. It just means that it focuses on just a different way of presenting the information. And I've found that the students who have come to me have resonated with the way that I present information, because I really like to help people just have confidence in themselves and really help people understand just how in control they are of their own energy.
Mm-hmm.
And help people understand what energy is, and just share examples of how energy is already so obvious in our society in ways that we take for granted, such as silly things like how someone can detect that you're staring at them from across the room.
Mm-hmm.
When women spend time together, their menstruation seems to synchronize. Things that we all know about, and maybe we can have fun conversations about, oh, isn't that weird? But then we just drop it, and we don't apply any more significance to it. But we are all energetically connected, and there's no doubt about that, that we are energy. And we're just as equally connected to our deceased loved ones who are here to guide us in the afterlife as we are to the angels, to heaven, to the Creator.
Mm.
And I really feel that just helping people understand how natural it is for us to communicate with our angels, how natural it is for us to receive energy, to be able to feel and express, it really helps people get past their own blocks, because I really feel that sometimes certain aspects of our society can leave people with the impression that they have to somehow be born into the right family or be qualified, or there's some sort of ritual necessary in order to begin working with the angels or begin following, getting guidance. And I help people understand that. And I always make a joke out of it. I just say, I know you're going to tell me, now you tell me, but you don't need an angel class in order to talk to the angels. In fact, my mother's book, How to Hear Angels, funny enough, has so much value, valuable and pertinent and very good information. It's just about knowing how energy comes to you. We have our clairs, mm-hmm. we have our clairvoyance, our clairsentience, claircognizance, and clairaudience. And so in my class, we go through and learn how energy comes to us individually, because if we're constantly trying to see the messages from angels or see angels, when in actuality we're clairsentient and they're giving us messages and guidance in a way that we can feel, it can be sometimes easy for us to feel as if we're not getting messages, or the messages that we are getting, it can sometimes feel like they're not clear enough or they're incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a real important step. And for anyone who's listening who might feel as if you are getting some messages, but maybe they're not clear enough. Start there with the clairs. And what I do is I run the class through a meditation that I'll share with you now. It's essentially we just go through and we ask the angels one clair at a time, please allow me to hear your messages, angels. Please allow me to feel your messages. Please allow me to see your messages. And please allow me to know your messages. And obviously in the meditation I go about it a little slower than that, but just asking them to open that channel, open each one of those channels individually with them, and asking them to maintain that channel and to help us discover within ourselves which is the strongest, because we'll have one and two, sometimes three strengths, but it's important that we're aware of where that energy is most likely to come from first, so we know where to focus. I've definitely worked with a lot of people who have seen that.
Part of what I keep hearing is the importance of asking, that it's really, that that's really important.
And
connecting
the
importance
with your angel. Because there's so much of this so many of these concepts that I talk about that I know can sound cliche and can sound obvious, and I say, okay, you know this, but how many times have you, in your life have you actually taken the time to dedicate time to saying, I affirm this, I ask you for this, angels, you know, instead of just having some sort of understanding that you're aware of this and that should somehow create an opening. And like I said, there's never any ritual necessary. We're never required to call in our angels by name.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, the angels who are meant to work with us will work with us in any given situation. It's like a macro. When you have those remote controls where you hit one button and it does multiple functions, like turn on my DVD player, and it turns on your TV and switches your receiver. Angels are automatic in that sense, that when we pray according to the energy of the intentions that we put out, the appropriate angels will come into action. Now, don't get me wrong. I have called on plenty of angels by name, and, you know, Shamuel, where are my keys? Or in turbulence, Michael, Raphael, please surround this plane. Stop this turbulence. It's ridiculous. But, you know, it's not required. That's one thing I really like to help people realize, is that there's no form of ritual that you have to subscribe to in order to feel as if the angels hear you or qualify for their assistance.
Now, we have a question in the chat, which I'll let you take that. How does one differentiate between a good spirit and a bad one? Or is there such a thing?
There's no such thing as a bad spirit. What has been confused throughout history as a bad spirit is what are called earthbound spirits. And earthbound spirits they're us. They're human energy that has been shocked out of their bodies for whatever reason. There's a plethora of reasons, but just some examples are suicide can sometimes do that, death via drug or other substance abuse can do that. Disasters can do that. Dying in a war can do that. A lot of different things.
So trauma, something traumatic.
Yeah, usually something traumatic, but not always. And yeah, that's a great way to sum it up. Thanks. And not every traumatic death creates this, but from the earthbound spirits I've worked with, most of them seem to have come from a traumatic death. So what happens is we pass. We leave our bodies, but we don't realize it. We don't know what's going on. We're left in a state of confusion and almost desperation. And it's just sometimes part of our soul path to have this happen. Because of what we learn as we come out of this state, I can't explain why, but this is just what energy has presented itself pertaining to this. And so as an earthbound spirit, what happens is you just want answers. You just want understanding of your situation. And I think this state here is probably the closest to what could be compared to the biblical sense of purgatory. You know, it's just
yes, being kind of stuck. You're kind of in between.
You're not suffering, but you're not necessarily happy either. You're scared, but it's scared in an energetic way, because fear only really pertains to the survival of our flesh. And you just want
to... That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, there's so much that you can dispel about some of the threats of traditional religion when you realize that once you don't have a body, so much doesn't pertain to us. So, you know, that's a whole other conversation. just basically saying, you know, why live your life fearing damnation?
Right.
Where our energy, nothing else in the universe seems to have that sort of pattern, so why us? So anyhow,
what do you feel? Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I was I'll be quick. I know that there's only a limited amount of time. But earthbound spirits, they'll gravitate towards people because they just want answers. They're attracted to our energy. They see our souls. And mm-hmm. what has happened is sometimes, and this is happening less and less. And it's just, people are just dying less and less shocking deaths these days as a whole. I mean, I know we hear about them on the news, but it's not how it used to be. And what can happen is if this earthbound spirit has any sort of destructive behavior in their energy or anger in their energy, just the same as we pick up and can emulate the energy of the people that we're around physically. We tend to be a little more happy when we're around happy people. Angry people make us angry, et cetera, et cetera. We pick up mm-hmm. on the energy from these earthbound spirits, but the thing is because they don't have a body, we're not always aware of their presence. And so sometimes we can experience mood shifts. Some people have found themselves craving destructive things like alcohol or drugs in the presence of these mm-hmm. earthbound spirits because it's in their energy and they don't know why. And it almost, and this is essentially, I think, where the fear came from is because these shifts happen. And that's pretty much it. They're not dangerous. They're not doing anything malicious. They're just in our energy. And so there's several ways to work with that, or what we call spirit releasement. In that sense, is we ask them to not be with us anymore. We set the energetic affirmation and intention that they are not welcome in our energy. That works because they don't want to be where they don't feel welcome. They want to be where they can feel companionship, where they can feel that they can find answers. They don't really know what they're doing.
Charles, when you say for them want answers, so what kind, is it answers to what happened to them or just...
Right, where they are, what they're doing. I'm sorry, I should have been more clear about that. Yeah, they want an understanding of their current state.
Okay.
And,
so in a way, they're reaching out.
That's exactly it. That's exactly
okay.
it. And so that's the way I look at them with compassion, and so much of their energy has been feared throughout history because... It is possible for them to influence our energy with their energy, and if they happen to have destructive things that are very prominent parts of their energy, and those who are less familiar with themselves and might not catch that that what's going on is not, you know, part of what they would naturally have, you know, wanted in their lives, then it can get sometimes to a point where people are saying, you know, what's going on? You've completely changed, and not in a good way. Mm-hmm. And I have really found that, you know, while we definitely, you know, don't want to interfere with people's soul path, there seems to be some sort of exception here because I have found that almost every single time that I have asked the angels of that earthbound spirit to awaken them, to help them to realize what they are and help them to go towards the light so that they can choose their next step, it has worked. And what's really interesting about this, and I'm really glad that you brought up negative spirits, earthbound spirits, because there's...
And we have another question about, just to add in, is there negative angels, too? So negative spirits is...
No such thing.
Okay, there we go. There you go, Kathy. There's answered. Okay.
Just keep in mind that we don't ever want to empower anything that we don't understand with fear.
Okay, that's a good point.
That all energy is just as powerful as our energy. I mean, obviously, angelic and heavenly energy is, you know, more powerful than us, but we don't have to worry about it because they're here for our best interest. They, you know, they brought us here. They went through a lot of effort in making these amazing bodies and just how amazing our minds are. Why would they want to end it?
Right, right.
So.
But part of what I'm hearing you say, too, though, is that just like you said, just even saying, or you're saying, sending them to the light or just saying, I don't need you here, I want you here, that there's a lot of power in that. So if I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying, let's say that person bothered by that spirit, that earthbound spirit, can just basically ask them to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, is that okay?
Well, yeah, and that's all fine, but I feel that, you know, as energy workers, as light workers, we, you know, we're not necessarily obligated to, but I feel that, yes, we can just ask them to leave, but I think that it's just right if we take it one step further and just take a moment to ask the angels of this earthbound spirit to help them to realize where they are. And whenever I talk about this, I say, if you were stuck in this state, wouldn't you want this person as opposed
oh,
to
yes, to help
off
them.
The next
but,
person? To, yeah.
Yeah. But I like what you're saying, though, Charles, is that you know, because a lot of times people think they don't have the power or the empowerment to do something. So in essence, what I'm hearing is you're saying that we do. I mean, you can help send them to the light. You can care for them, you know, in that way. But it's not, because a lot of times people think that they have all this power over them and there's not anything that they can do. And I'm hearing you say that there is something you can do.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And that some people have just subdued to the idea that there's nothing that can be done. And if you believe that, then you've created that.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, yeah. Let's see. I'm not sure what the question is. Oh, one, because some of the people have taken Doreen's courses, so they do want to ask you a little bit more about your course in particular. And let's say, is there one thing that they would get from yours that perhaps that your mother, Doreen Virtue, doesn't cover? Or is it the same material but done differently?
It's the same essence.
Okay.
Yeah. There are a lot of very literal similarities as far as terminology and as far as what you essentially are there to learn, as far as connecting with your angels, learning to do readings, you know, having that energetic confidence, learning to work with shielding, learning to work with, you know, we talk a little, about manifestation. We talk a little bit about cutting cords. Actually, we do pretty heavy work with that. So, having taken the ATP course, I don't believe that there's anything in my class that would really, you know, that you missed out on by taking ATP or vice versa. I really feel that it's the way that the information is presented can almost be as important as what the information is. And it just has to, my energy, the way I talk about things, has to resonate with you. If while I'm talking, if you understand me, or, you know, maybe differently or as opposed to someone else, then obviously maybe you'd have a fun in my class. It'd be great to have you there, but I don't think that you definitely don't need to take my class. Nobody needs to take any of those classes, but it is a very thorough. It's a very informative and powerful week, to put it that way. I don't really ever get into advertising. I never like to promote for myself. I really
Charles, people want it. You know, one of the reasons you're here today is to share insight and information and a bit about your path. And people really, you know, awakening tends to attract people that are wanting tools to help them on their path. And
if I could just take a moment, I wanted to go back to the tattoo thing. I was a little shocked at first because this is something that's just always been a very, very private thing for me. I don't have anything, I just want to put it out there since it came up. There's nothing offensive on my body like skulls or anything like that. Every single one of my tattoos commemorates a step in my life. Those who have read any books or heard anything about my life, I've been through some very, very trying times in my life. I've had a very interesting life. And each one has just commemorated strengths that I've found within myself to persevere through situations. And every single one is, you know, very, very profound and significant to me and also very private. So I hope that I understand that I did react strongly to that, and I never hide that. I'm human, and I think to deny that and to pretend that, you know, especially if you're a teacher or if you're working in the light, and to pretend that you're not capable of reacting strongly to things, I think is very egotistical. We all have to realize that we're human. And so while if I had preparation for that question, I may have reacted less strongly, and now that I've had time to work with the energy of it, I just wanted to let people know that it's not that I'm keeping secrets. I'm the first person to admit if anyone asks that, yes, I do have them. But I don't want to be judged because of them.
Charles, honestly, no one is judging you here. Believe me, I've had guests on that I could have asked a lot more People have even said, are you going to cover this? It's an unfolding of whatever anyone wants
yeah.
to talk about. And it's
well, one
not...
of my favorite tattoos says Nam-myoho Renge Kyo,
mm.
which is a Buddhist chant. And
yes, which
that.
Means I forgot what it means.
the essence of it is that everything that you do, as long as it's done in divinity, is all right. But it's obviously it's Buddhist, so it's under the in the name of Buddha. But to complete
right.
the phrase, and it's a chant that I was taught very early on. I was taught by a complete stranger in San Diego when I was probably 12 or 13. And you chant this Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, Nam-myoho Renge Kyo,
yes.
and it's supposed to center you with the universe. And it's worked for me, and I got it as just a reminder that no matter what you go through, you're always going to have energy that's going to be there with you. And I don't
wow.
subscribe to any particular religion. I feel that all religions have great
yeah, I used
humanity,
I chanted that
so.
At one point in my 20s. I chanted that at one point, and I did find... Of course, chanting is so sacred, isn't it? Whatever the words, especially,
mm-hmm.
it does just really center you in that awareness, and you can, feel that. So,
yeah,
I'm glad you shared that, though. You didn't
well,
have to, though. You could just say it.
That I don't have to be so private with them. It's
yeah,
just,
you don't have. Well, or you could just say it. They're private to me, or maybe
yeah.
I'll tell you. Maybe But yeah, it was said in love. I think. People, you gotta remember when you're coming on these programs, people have been, either taking the classes already, reading your book, studying on you. So they're excited to
yeah.
meet you and connect with you and to hear about your path of unfolding. Because when you come on these programs, it's, we all need that inspiration. So whenever we, I get inspired when I even do these programs because I hear, like you gave me that bit of information with Archangel Nathaniel. It answered something. I've been feeling with this confidence thing. So we all come together to help each other. And when we can look to either side and say, wow, look what they did or how they made it or I can take this class or read this book or this will help me.
Mm-hmm.
Teresa's putting in the chat, we're all teachers as well as students.
Well, I can
say
it this way. I definitely wouldn't ever lie about the fact that I have them. I still, at this point, won't ever volunteer that information. But if anyone is curious about them, come ask me in private, and I will definitely be very open about it. I just don't want it to ever be put in the same sentence with me because I just don't feel that it's relevant information. It takes away from my mission in the sense that it's just a needless distraction from why I'm here. And that's what I'm referring to, is that...
I'm just sharing.
People, about it.
Yeah, well, you can just say it's private, or I don't go into the meaning of it. It's a part of my path, and people would totally understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But see, there are a lot of people that have tattoos or tats that, have a different opinion. So we don't have any way of knowing what your opinion is on those.
Definitely.
One thing I got a little prompt because I got another before we were almost closing here. I don't want to rush off of this, but I'm glad you opened up about it. Just anything that you can share right now that you feel that Archangel Nathaniel would want us all to know or what you feel is important right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
definitely. One thing that really comes to mind right now that energetically I feel to share is that don't be afraid. Don't allow yourself to feel as, I'll try and be a little bit more clear. If what you're feeling right now, if you're feeling a shift to change away from a certain aspect of your life that you put a lot of energy, a lot of deliberate energy, and a lot of focus to get to, and now you're here and you're feeling yet again an urge to change, don't be afraid that that's false guidance, and don't be afraid that that's fear or somehow feeling ineligible for your current position. That our paths and our life purposes is multiple things, and it's a long R step. And especially when you're following the guidance of the angels, at no point, unless you have a very severe lesson to learn, which, like me, but I'm, again, young soul, but at no point do they put you in a position. I never starved during that time. I was very much alive, and in hindsight, I overreacted about my situation. And
I think we all do at some point.
Yes, definitely. So just you have to take trust that if the angels are sending you messages that another change is coming, to just allow them to give you more information because they'll do it systematically. They're not going to just take away what you've got, and they're not going to ask you to, call in Monday morning and say, this is it, and then you make you wait to hear the next answer. I'm really feeling that a lot of these major shifts are happening as one tapers down, it fades into the next almost seamlessly. I'm really getting a lot of energy about that. So I really want to ask people to stop fighting and stop questioning and stop having anxiety and worries about having this urge to change come from a position in life that at one point felt so right and felt so guided.
Mm-hmm. And can anybody ask for this energy to come or him to come to us?
Yeah, well, he'll start coming to us more and more and more. So if you don't feel like asking for him, at some point I really am confident that you're just going to start feeling that energy anyhow, and it's going to start that you're going to wake up one morning and you're going to be like, this isn't working for me in some small aspect of your life, and it'll just start from there. Yes, any one of us can ask for him. I think that it's no coincidence that he came to me when I have the blessed opportunity to be able to talk publicly about him, that he wants people to know about him. And just like with any angel, any archangel, we just ask them to be in our presence. And I have found that by asking him and saying, Archangel Nathaniel, please come into my life. Please take an energetic inventory of my life and help me to get rid of any distractions that might be taking my focus and my energy away from moving towards my next step on my soul path.
I love that. Now, one last question. Do you feel that when these angelic beings or energies come here, let's say I'm kind of envisioning in a wave, is it to help and usher something in a more like on a group level or universally? And what I mean by that, do you feel that we will feel this presence more because of where we're at right now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. You're spot on with that. And we're ushering in a spiritual reawakening in humanity where we're finding less and less fulfillment from the material gains. And we're going to start focusing on our own energy, and we're going to start, it's amazing. We're going to start seeing very profound changes in our lifetime. And we already have in the past, I mean, God, especially the past 10 years, 20 years. And it's just going to keep getting more amazing. I mean, if you could see what I've seen with working with my mother and just, in my small time working with this, traveling all over the world, having the blessed opportunity to share this message, it's the same all over the world. It's the same energy all over the world, no matter what background, no matter what government is in place. The energy of the classes, the energy that they're feeling is all the same, and it's so much confirmation to me, and I tell people all the time, I wish that you could see with my eyes for even a second, and you would have no doubt whatsoever just how profound the angel's presence in our lives is right now. And we know that all glory goes to God, all glory goes to heaven and the Creator, but the angels exist to work with us. And so why would we deny them of that?
Right. Well, maybe there's more of an opening, and that's part of your path as a bridger, as you're bringing more awareness to this. Thank you so much for being with us, Charles. We've got Tammy in the chat also thanking you and saying thank you. Thank him for us, Michelle. It's been a learning experience. So everyone on the chat room says
Charles,
thank you. And thank
you. The Gemini Indigo at your service.
Okay, great. Yeah. Thanks for this opening and heartfelt experience, Charles. And those of you that want more information on Charles or any of his courses, as well as the book Signs from Above, you can go to charlesvirtue.com.
Thank you.
Thank you all again. Thanks so much, Charles.
Bye.
Bye. And thank all of you for being with us. And joining in and part of the converging flow. A couple calls I didn't get to on the line. Sorry about that. Some of them were just listening. I got a little email and text in that some people were just listening. So I hope you all got a lot out of the good information. And just want to thank all of you for being here and making awakenings what it is. And until next time, shine your light, share your insight, and keep awake. join us for Awakening Wednesday and select it. Six on. Be on our newsletter for information. You can reach us at info at selfinlight.com. That's INFSFFINLIGHT. Keep in touch. Facebook at Awakening Radio. Find your letter. Much peace, many blessings, and